right, we'll let that run. I don't know where I put the old recordings. They were on my desktop. Where are we? Admin here and here. Okay, there we go. So, got to office hours. Sorry for the delays and everything. I promise I'm trying to get more automation going here. It's just like I've been trying to fix a problem at the corporate stuff for many, many weeks. And I just like keep hammering away at it and it keeps not being fixed. So, here we go. I need to like search primetime dash and then 2026. Where are they? They should be on my desktop. Apparently I accidentally deleted them. They are in recycle bins, so I could just go ahead and restore them. What happened? I must have been like smoking some stuff or something. Okay. So with all that done, are you planning to add a toggle to remove April Fool's events for business clients? It won't be a toggle, it'll be like a manual process. Basically, April Fool's is driven by an engine property. I don't know what exactly it is, but something like engine is April Fool's or something. And right now that is like due date maths, is it April 1st? But what that will be is due date maths, is it April 1st and not in engine in universe, which is like a property which indicates if something is in a universe. Just tag that with like member not null as well. Member not null is really, where are we? Member not null when. Mr. Cyro helped me understand this. But what I can do is I can tag in universe. No, I can tag engine.universe, which is the universe that you're in, with member not null when in universe true. And then it will prevent a bunch of like universe null. Anyway, there we go. I do still plan to do that. It's not going to make tomorrow though. Most of the people involved at the corporate client are on vacation, so we're probably good. But I don't want to lose momentum, right? You know, it was like a weird countdown. So I will do it this week. Because like if I delay it, it'll be this time next year and I'll be like, fuck, I didn't do it again. So I have to do it. Otherwise, I guess I could just do it right now. Let's do it right now whilst we wait for some questions. How about that? I won't release it to them. Like, I wouldn't do that this close to the date. And like I said, they're all on vacation, but there we go. Because they're a giant corporate client, they've got like a common software delivery mechanism. It's common in corporate IT whereby like, you know, maybe like Softpedia or all those other like weird janky download websites are blocked, right, for good reason, because they're mostly full of viruses. But like if you want an application, you can go to like the corporate software like distribution UI somewhere. Like it's usually like a desktop application, or maybe it's a website, and it lists like validated and approved applications, and in some cases, depending on like how cool it is, it will also keep them up to date. So it's like a business Steam, but for more than just games. And we want to get Resina into that and being automatically delivered from CI as well. But right now I basically email them a zip and then they have to like slowly distribute it around. So it wouldn't make it any. Okay, control T, April's. There is one L in April. If engine, actually, we don't need to end because we're in the end. If in, public ball in universe. Oh, it's not static. And is April Fool's is static. I guess we can do engine.current for the singleton. Engine.current in universe, return false. Here you go. Here's how you turn off April Fool's mode for the corporates. It is two lines of code. Ideally, like, it could be one. It could be one, like the enter and indentation there is not needed, but, you know, two lines. So let's just check the error list. Yeah, that's fine. Okay, so I can just literally shove that up to their branch. Fool's verse. Okay, it's fixed. It's not like in their hands, but it's in the commit chain. It's in the commit chain, okay? It's in the commit chain. Like the next build I publish for them will not have it. Computers, it says current activity of canine companion. They're in their bark at the door mode. That's why I shut the baby gate, but they are sat on one of their beds. They've got like two or three at this point. Staring at the baby gate, intermittently barking at. They also don't like, I swapped to a new dog food. I usually do like a delivered food, but I'm moving soon and I didn't want there to be like an overlap of just like a giant box of frozen dog food, particularly when I'm moving. So I canceled that and I'm like, we'll go dry food until I've moved. And then, you know, we'll go back to whatever we go from now after we look at prices. And so I bought like a 18-pound bag of dry dog food that he's previously liked. But he doesn't like it, and so he's not eating, But I'm like, does he not like it because he doesn't like it? Or does he not like it because there's a problem with his teeth? Because he usually has softer. So I'm going to book him into the vet whenever I remember to. It's meant to be booked in today. Maybe I could do that. Is already four, though. Just book him into the vet. Be like, yo, hey, you know, double check his teeth. He also might need some vaccinations. I've got a trip coming up, a travel trip, and he's going to need to be boarded. So I've got to check up on his vaccinations anyway. If they're like, hey, his teeth are fine, then I will probably just like get like a smaller bag of a variety of dog foods and to try and donate the rest of this 18-pound dog bag to a rescue organization which visits the pet store around the corner to do an adoption event about once a quarter. I'll be like, hey, my dog hates this food. He's like, I don't know, like 17 and a half pounds. Dog food. He will eventually eat it because like hunger takes place, and I've also had some mixed success with dumping in like a cup of water onto the food, which like makes it moist and smell a bit better. There we go. I missed a question from user about something else. I'm enjoying the current cheese theme of April Fools. I believe it's only Nexon's event in Resmonic, which is cheese. I am aware of what Resonite's going to do tomorrow for April 4th. I cannot tell you, but I'm aware. It is not cheese-related. But yes, I'm always happy to see cheese-related items. We talk about this every year as well when it comes to like April Fools. But like Fruks is happy for like other engineers to... it's like, yeah, the Dogman Studios event, but like it's, the event is like Nexlin's responsibility, and then the code changes for the engine are Fruks's responsibility. And as I was just saying, Fruks is open to other engineers submitting April Fool's content. That doesn't tend to work out in my brain, though, because usually, we need code reviews and things like that. And I don't want meme content being code reviewed because it's very difficult to write anyway. Like, hey, you didn't use the most optimal and idiomatic open object orientated public static void made string args version of whatever the hell this is to like make everyone fart on the hour every hour. That, and it's kind of been beaten into me from my Microsoft days that like I kind of just don't do April. For those who are unaware, Microsoft, and therefore any product under their umbrella, including Xbox and Blizzard now, I guess, are not allowed to do April Fools. It is a directive from the chief legal officer of Microsoft. I think one of the problems with April Fools as well, when you get to a company that large, is that it's very difficult for everyone to understand that it is a joke, right? Let's say like 80% of people understand that it's a joke, like whatever you do. The 20% who don't might not buy anything that day. And so you've still got like a 20% decrease in sales for a day. And that's like unacceptable to most businesses. Moving forward, skipping over the April Fool's question. I know exactly what's in the April Fool's update. Like down to the letter. I was reading the commits last night, but I can't tell you. moving forwards, Hecko, how much did the death of Rezzy... of Rezzy? At least didn't say Rizzy. How much did the death of Rizzy Player B, Ready Player B, affect the provision of business-friendly normal humans? That went by the wayside for a bit. Lots of times the corporate client will shove stuff over our way and be like, could you theoretically do this? And we're like, yeah, sure. But they never actually ask us to do it. So like it goes on my list and I think about it and then it doesn't happen. Right now in corporate land, I've actually got a break. And for anyone who knows corporate internet security, you're about to like love it, okay? So we created a second copy of Resonite's cloud infrastructure with inside their cloud infrastructure in Azure. The way that that's been done is using what's called a hub and spoke model. So there is network isolation between the rest of corporate's products and our corporate products, but they're still under the same like overall wheel, which means that the corporate client is paying for the Azure resources and not me. Oh, yeah, they're Dogman Studios. But that also means that there's a bunch of security involved, such that I don't understand the network topology of everything that I have deployed. Now, we were okay for things like the API, the asset worker, the account websites, you know, things like stats, messages, inventory, stuff like that, because that's all HTTP. HTTP is like, everyone like, whoa, you know, chef kiss. Everyone knows HTTP. And yes, it's HTTPS, but I just can't be bothered to say the S, so just leave me alone. it's all HTTP, so it's all like really easy to understand. Firewalls are built for it. Firewalls are built to handle it really well. So it just works. So the corporate cloud is up and running, and you can connect via HTTP and get all your data, all your contacts, all your inventory stuff, and register accounts and all of that. That's great. But what they also wanted was, let's stick a headless VM in the same subscription. And I'm like, this makes sense. We can have a headless VM. But to do that, I then needed to orchestrate it in such a way where it could be what's called unattended. So what they want is like infrastructure as code standards. You know, no one has actual access to the like Azure subscription. Infrastructure as code is the one that has to provision it, which means I had to like write code to provision a headless VM without my hands, right? I can't use my hands. I have to just use words that I can type. So Terraform stands up the virtual machine. The virtual machine runs a version of Linux called Flatcar Linux, which is an immutable OS similar to Fedora Core OS or Core OS. I had to get that clear through security as well, because it's technically a third-party marketplace image, even though Azure/Microsoft own the company that makes Flatcar, and Flatcar is open source. I still had to open a security ticket for them to say, like, yes, you can install this third-party, even though it's not third-party operating system. So I can include, you know, Flatcar, great. Now, Flatcar, it runs this language called Ignition at start, and it will spin up whatever the Ignition tells it to do. But Ignition is JSON. It's really difficult to write. So you actually write it in a language called Butane. Now, Butane is just YAML. It's very, very, very similar to like how you might structure like a Docker Compose file or basically any other like YAML thing. So you write that as Butane, and then you transpile it to Ignition, which is basically just like YAML to JSON with like a couple of like extra ways, right? And then you pass that to the machine, and the machine uses that as instructions to build it. Because it's an immutable OS, it's not the same as like running commands on there. Like it actually like makes changes. Like it's a bit complex. Anyway, the Ignition/Butane, what that does is installs Docker, a Docker Compose, and then starts a Docker headless component instance. That all works. And if you log into the corporate client's version of Resonite right now, you will see their test headless up and running, but no one can reach it. And the reason you can see it up and running is because, like, the, hi, I'm here, that's all HTTP, but the actual connection to them is UDP over the LNL system. Now, the problem with that is that all corporate firewalls are, like, ancient, and they don't understand UDP. They barely understand TCP, but they don't understand UDP. So, yeah, I can't connect. And then everyone's like, oh, what about the bridge or the relay? No. I can't get any traffic to the VM, so bridge and relay won't fix it. Like you do a trace route to the VM's IP, it doesn't resolve. You do a ping to the headless VM, it doesn't resolve. You deliberately open a port with a basic UDP like echo server operating with LNL, doesn't respond. So then the problem is, like, I don't understand what the client wants and what security can offer, because like number one would be headless VM is only exposed to corporate network. So that would be if you're logged into a machine on site, like at a corporate building, or if you're off site, you'd have to log in through the VM, not VM, VPN, and then you gain access to it. And I don't understand if that's okay. Like if that's okay, that's great. But if they also want off site non-VPN, then what I need to basically do is like, hi, corporate client Azure security team, can I open this headless VM to like the entire internet on these ports? And they're probably gonna be like, no. But like I simply don't understand their topology. So I was very brave and I typed up a very long, very complicated, very thoroughly explained and researched ticket to their team that basically said, like, don't know what the right move here is. Here's what I would like. Let me know. But they haven't like responded to me today. So today I get to do non-corporate stuff. Yeah, they may be on vacation. So that was a long tangent, but on to Hecko's second question. How do the impending deaths of Horizon Worlds and Rec Room affect stuff in general? Oh, they haven't really affected anything at all. We're talking internally, like maybe we could like time something for the Rec Room demise, like at a welcome event or something. But it's like, what is going on that like can capitalize there? So like the Rec Room dying, it's like, well, that's mostly people who we can't host on our platform because it's mostly like kids and they're mostly like 16 or younger. So we can't really host them. And then Horizon Worlds, no one really played that. So we haven't really got some, like, you know, haven't really got some, like, market to capitalize on there. But, like, hey, we'll see. Lots of businesses and industry people are using the collapse of both of those platforms as, like, a, you know, like a fire or a signal that, like, VR is dying. Obviously, we don't think. I do think that, like, you know, heavy headsets are dying. Like, that's the problem I think. We need, like, lighter headsets. I am tired of, like, having radiators. Yosh says something about the lines of, like, not know when you're running down the wrong path of type analysis and utilization. It's subverting the type system rather than working with it. I agree, but, like, if it was up to me, we wouldn't have null in our code base at all. Like, I would just enable a rule globally on the entire code base and say, hey, null isn't allowed. And then that would, it would self-resolve it. All the code I write, I try and make it like it doesn't allow null. Like, any entry point to new code I write, it's like, hey, if that parameter's null, piss off. You guys will know that as argument null exception dot throw if null. You just shove that at the top of your entry point to, like, an area of code, and it's just like, guys, you're just using me wrong. I don't allow null. What bothers me more than anything is when people use a nullable bool to be a tri-state boolean, right? So you've got true, false, and null. I'm like, I think you want an enum, right? Result dot success, failure, and unknown. Much better than a tri-state fucking bool. It's weird because, like, I don't understand how functional code bases grow to the size of, like, enterprise software without object oriented. But there we go. But I do wish there was more functional matters in object oriented code base. Like, the result pattern is so much better than, like, I am a. Okay, here's the worst result signature: task bool nullable. Okay, so it's an async method that can fail, but if it succeeds, it has the option to tell you that it doesn't know what happened. We have another question here, though. Qualia says, inspired by a fairly brief and ultimately an uneventful partial outage this weekend, and not really knowing if there was a way to harangue someone on call about it, so I pinged you and Fruits. Does Fruits have an SLA? No. Does the public universe have an SLA? If something goes down at this point in wider mid scale, the only recommended things to do here as a rando in the community for escalating if necessary, make a GitHub request and get people to stop it. I don't mean that, like, I do mean that both silly, but also, like, honestly as well, right? So one of the problems we had during some additional outage that we've had previously is that everyone was pinging Fruits saying it's down, and they weren't specifying what was down or how they knew it was down or what the symptoms were or anything like that. And so the first thing he asked was like, hey, can you make a GitHub issue that describes why this is down? And then I'll be easily able to fix it. I would never advise pinging Fruits. It's usually not the best way, but I don't really have any other suggestions. We do have what looks to be an outage in the moderation portal, Nextcloud, and Wiki right now. I do intend to resolve that immediately following office hours, but I didn't want to cancel office hours, so we'll just, you know, have an hour of downtime there. If you are in a modern code base and you see task bool question mark and you can't really do much changes, consider a tuple. You could do task, is tuple brackets or square bracket, I don't remember, but whatever. You could do, like, bool question mark string, and immediately slightly better. Still goddamn awful, but slightly better. Because at least with the string, you can kind of figure out what's going on, or at least log it to the log file. I mean, like, more optimally, you'd just do task bool result as, like, an enum. But at that point, you don't need the bool, so you just do task result. And at that point, you're like, oh, I could write my own result class. And I'm like, no, just go use Fluent Results. For anyone who doesn't like C# and is wondering why, if you read the Fluent Result page, you might be like, that's why I don't like it, because I didn't have this. And if that isn't enough, then you can go here and die, because it's very, very, very complicated and thick. But Luffy Language Extensions adds a bunch of functional programming stuff to C#. But it is, like, it's one of the thickest readmes I've ever seen. It is, like, I've read it, like, 5 times in a row. But it implements all the monads that you might be useful to. It's, like, option, either, thin, like, all of them. Palpatine says, when are you going to transition Resonite to using an effects library? It's interesting that you say that, because, like, if you look into, like, UI-based languages, like, all the, like, XAML ones, I can't keep up to date with how many there are, but they have, they have this interface called iNotify Property Changed. And there's various other types of it. But like that's how you sort of pick up on the fact that stuff is reactive. And it tends up to be like a lot like how we do our data model. That's the so I tend to use for UI is reactive UI, which I just linked. But that even that turns into like something like our Sinky doodad. Because you can make any model reactive with some like annotations and they just like generate a bunch of. So me as a naive person, I'm like, is this applicable to a Resonoid? And the answer is probably not, because we're not synchronizing between UI threads, we're synchronizing between computers. Yeah, I don't really understand why the feature is called this, but discriminated unions in C#. Like, I don't call them discriminated unions. I'm like, that thing I want. Qualys says, what are the best cheeses for a grilled cheese? So you actually want two cheeses in your grilled cheese. You want a flavorful cheese, which is like choice, whatever you want for like cheese flavor. But you want to mix in some like more goopy, stringy cheese to get like the cheese pull. For that, you'd like want mozzarella or something like that. There's cheeses that like melt and cheese pull better, and there are cheeses that taste a bit like concrete. Do you know concrete's really complicated? Like you can add and remove so many different like additives to concrete to change how it works. Grilled cheese is a lot like concrete. Prime 2026. I'm looking for a good guide into what discriminated unions would be for you guys, but I don't understand some of these articles. They're like, here's discriminated unions in C#. And then they're like, here's some mathematics and some LaTeX diagram. This is a great article, but it talks about them before it knew that .NET was getting them. So it's like using some like thing. And then here's the like learn.microsoft page for it. But yeah, it's basically a solve to this whole problem of like null. It's like another solve for the null problem. If you want like unions or stuff like that, you need collections. Like, bro, the day we get collections and nested nodes. All right, do we have other questions? Epic, because there's no more questions. I've got to take the dog for a walk around the block and then fix the wiki next and the moderation. It's very logical, though. It's a file space issue. So what I'm going to do is go find out what's like eating file space and then shove as much of that as possible in R2. I know, for example, you can configure Nextcloud to use S3 as a document storage. So with like a couple of edits, I should be able to be like, hey, all of our PowerPoints and stuff are on R2 now, but like surfaced in Nextcloud. That'll be cool. Because that would get rid of a lot of file space. But then one of the other problems I've noticed, and actually you saw me make a GitHub issue about this one. In the Flatcar Linux setup, we don't want the headless logging to file because the logs are flowed through journal, which is systemd's like logging thingy bobby. And that means we don't need additional file logging. Like journal already does that for us. And not only that, journal will rotate logs as well. Whereas I don't think there's any logic that would be like, hi, Resonite headless, the machine you're trying to write a log file to is kind of full. Could you not? One of the things I was thinking of doing with like Docker setup is like, hey, if we bind the log directory to dev null, will that work? Like Resonite will be like, yeah, I'm writing log files. And meanwhile, the computer's just going, yeah, carry on. Let's get you back to bed. Resonite headless. You're not writing log files, you're writing to null. But yeah, much easier to just turn those off. Ah, so for the wiki and Nextcloud, they aren't using journal. They'll be in the Docker log engine, which I believe also handles rotating, but I'm not entirely. As a reminder, my goal for the machine that runs the wiki, Nextcloud support, and all that other stuff is to delete it. So we're getting there. Some of this headless stuff is actually helping. Like I could theoretically stand up like now a VM for us that would have the stuff that we need, including the wiki, but I'd also be stepping on someone's toes because Jay is trying to do that. But that happens naturally. It's never intentional. It's just like, hey, corporate clienting, they want this thing this month, next month, they might want something. Yeah, I will